Mount Pisgah's lofty height. Anybody know who ended their life on Mount Pisgah? I believe it was Moses, okay? Moses, and he went up to Mount Pisgah, and he went up to Mount Pisgah, and he could view the Promised Land. And so from Mount Pisgah's lofty height, he viewed that beautiful land. And the picture, of course, for us, idea of heaven, when we rise to go to heaven, sweet hour of prayer won't be needed anymore because we'll be with the Lord, and the communication will be changed. Prayer will not be that way anymore. Also, sweet hour of prayer. Did you ever think of that? The old-timers sang sweet hour of prayer. In our busy society, I think we sing sweet minute of prayer. I don't know that many Christians know what it is to spend an hour with the Lord in prayer. But tonight, with the lesson that I have for you tonight, it's actually going to be a practical lesson. And we are going to do a little project during the second half of the message that will enable you, if you want to be able to spend an hour in prayer without it seeming like a drudgery, without it seeming like, oh man, it took a whole hour. I think you'll be amazed if you try the ideas that we have for you today. Well, here as we near the end of our series on prayer, as a pastor, I strongly desire that all of us, me included, that we learn to pray. These first 12 messages have given us lots of motivation for developing a prayer life and a quantity and quality prayer time. I think we've got all the motivation we need. But the truth is, as a pastor, I can't make you pray. Okay, I can try to set you up for success in a prayer life, but I can't make you pray. That's something that's between you and the Lord. But in this lesson, I want to try to set you up for success. I want to give you the practical tool of a prayer list. A prayer list. We've learned a whole lot about prayer. We've been on a wonderful 12-week journey so far. But you know, learning all the things about prayer won't do us any good if we don't pray. If we don't pray. All right? Today we're going to learn the importance of having and using a prayer list, and then we'll actually work together and allow you to build your own prayer list. Now, humor me on it, okay? You might not actually use the prayer list, that's between you and God, but at least during the service today, at least build your own prayer list with me, and I'll give you the tools to do that, all right? Let's start out by looking at a few verses that teach us the importance of a prayer list. Colossians chapter 4. Open your Bibles this evening to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 12 tells us about a man named Epaphras, or Epaphras. If you have accents in your study Bible, mine says it's Epaphras. I always said Epaphras, but if I follow the accents, it's Epaphras. Verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Here the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is penning these words, and Paul's saying, I praise the Lord for Epaphras, because he is always laboring fervently for you in prayer. Paul was praising the Lord for Epaphras because he knew that Epaphras was remembering to pray for the Christians in Colossae. That's why it's called Colossians. It was written to those Christians there. And he knew, boy, this guy, Epaphras, he's going to pray for them. How could Epaphras remember all the Christians in Colossae? He had their names written down. He had a prayer list, I believe, and he prayed specifically for the members. Notice it says, always praying fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. It says he saluteth them. He said, oh, Paul, you're writing to Colossae? Tell those guys I said hi. I've been praying for them. And so, Epaphras is that faithful prayer warrior. Okay, you say, well, that doesn't really say you have to have a list, Pastor Needler. Well, let's look at another principle. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. Back in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 12. Boy, after having those sword drills on Sunday night, some of you are getting faster at finding things now. Good. Praise the Lord for that. You say, have another sword drill because you gave out candy bars. No, no sword drills tonight. Sorry. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. This is the Lord speaking through Samuel here. And Samuel was determined that he was not going to forget to pray for these people. Now, the people had just done something wrong in this chapter. They weren't content with God being their king. And they said, we want an earthly king like the other nations. So God says, fine, you want an earthly king? You'll be sorry, because your earthly king is going to take you to battle. He's going to cause all kinds of problems for you. But you want an earthly king? I'll give you an earthly king. Well, then Samuel goes to the people and says, all right, the Lord said you shouldn't have asked for a king. You should have been content for God to be your king. But since you asked for a king, God's going to give you one. And you guys are going to see it's not all it's cracked up to be. You know, that's the Needler version, okay? And then the people say, oh, well, Samuel, even though we've done this wrong thing in asking for a king, please don't stop praying for us. And that's why he says in verse 23, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Samuel said, look, if I stop praying for you, I would be sinning against the Lord. Now, I think that's true in a lot of our situations. You know, a lot of times somebody says, hey, would you pray for this? Pray for me about this. And we say, as good little Christians do, we say, sure, I'll pray for you. But then do we? Well, we maybe pray about it one time before we forget. But he said, if I cease to pray for you, God's not going to be pleased with that. Now, that might not be true of every prayer request you've ever prayed for, but I believe a lot of prayer requests that God lays on your heart or has somebody tell you about, it's because the Lord wants you to pray about them. He wants you to remember them and to keep on praying until He answers or until He... Anybody remember? Good, till He changes the request. Until He changes it and says, no, that's not according to my will. Don't ask that anymore. Then you keep asking until He answers it or until He changes it. Well, how can you remember to keep asking? Aha, write it down, right? Write it down. If it doesn't get written down, it doesn't get remembered. And keeping a prayer list is a great key to be able to obey the principle in 1 Samuel 12 here and not sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for someone else. So do we want to be like Epaphras and Samuel and keep from forgetting? How do we do that? The answer is use a prayer list. Okay, gentlemen, at this time, if you would come. These guys are going to hand each of you a stack of papers. And if you need a pen, you wave at them as well. I want everybody to do this, okay? So don't bail out on me. Just humor me. You say, I already have a prayer list. Okay, well, just do this for me anyway. Because by the end of this, you might want to at least try this idea. And if not, you can still use yours. But at least humor me and do it during the service. But these gentlemen will give everybody a prayer list. And then if you need a pen, it's a blank prayer list because we're going to fill them in. Okay, we're going to fill them in, do a little prayer project here this evening. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Why don't one of you guys go on one side and one on the other? We can get them out quicker there. Okay, it's one per person here. Everybody needs a stack. All right, and if you need a pen, we'll get you one of those. Uh-oh, we're having technical difficulties. All right, there we go. All right. Get them out as quick as you can here. All right. Yeah, the green sheet is just a little divider to make them easier to pass out. Get them out of the copy machine. One per person, one per person. Come on. All right. Give you just a minute. Everybody get one, get a pen. Good. Looks like everybody's humoring me. Nobody's refusing to do it. Nobody will have to stay for detention after. Oh. That was supposed to be a joke. Nobody laughed. Steph laughed. Thank you, Steph. All right. Now, if you'll take that stack, guys, go ahead and hand me one of those as well. The first one is praise. Okay? And up at the top it says praise. Remember when we were studying Tori's book, we learned that a big part of prayer is to have time to praise God for some things. Now, the little blank right under where it says prayer list is for you to put your name. So on that first line at the very top, go ahead and write your name right in there. And that's why if your sheet gets lost or something, somebody can return it to you. I had some sheets about this size fall out of my Bible this morning, and Dave brought them up to me, and I said, oh, those fell out of my Bible. He goes, yeah. So put your name right in that first line. Okay, now, praise. It says, list qualities of the Lord, and each day praise Him for some of them. Now, what I did is I used the alphabet. I just wrote down the side, A, B, C, D, F, G, all the way down the side. And then A, He's almighty. Okay, B, He's benevolent. He's the branch. C, He's condescending, compassionate. D, He's dependable. E, He's eternal. But you go ahead and write down a couple things right now. Go ahead and write a couple things right now that you can praise God for, who He is. Not for what He's done, but for who He is. Some of those qualities for who He is. Now, you might remember that the reason this sheet is first is that praise prepares us for the rest of our prayer time. When we get a glimpse of how great God is, then we're ready to pray. And so praise ought to be at the beginning, before we do anything else. Job chapter 42, verse 5 and 6, Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Therefore I repent in dust and ashes. Let's see, guys, we need one more back there for Brother Dave. Mark, you got one? Okay, one more stack and pen for Dave back there. Okay, so praise is the first one. Go ahead and write down a couple things. Get 3, 4, 5 things. You can add to it as the days go on, but get a couple things that you can praise God for. Now, let's say you wrote down something like holiness. When you go to pray with a prayer list, take some time with that. Say, Lord, I lift you up. I exalt you for being holy. That means you're totally separate from sin. Boy, I wish I were, Lord. But you are totally separate. You never do anything wrong. Sometimes in my life, I'm tempted to think that you messed up or did something mean. But no, Lord, you never do anything wrong. You are totally holy. See how I'm praising God for holiness? Okay, and you can take a minute or two and praise Him for something like that. And praise Him for at least one thing on your list each time. Now, take that sheet and just put that right on the bottom. Put it right on the bottom. Now, on the second sheet, go ahead and put your name on the top line again, in case it gets lost. And the second sheet should say thanks. All right, if we made the prayer list up properly, it should say thanks. On this sheet, I want you to list some things that you can thank God for. Now, the first sheet was praising Him for who He is. This is thanking Him for what He has done. All right, thank you for giving me my family. Thank you for my job, if you have one. Thank you for my husband or my wife or my little brother or my little blister, a sister. Okay? Different things you can thank God for. Thank you for letting me be on a certain sports team. Or anything that you can think of. Ben, you need one of these. Did you just get done helping with puppets? Okay. Front row here. Do you have a pen, Ben? All right. couple things. Go ahead, make a list of things that you can thank Him for. You know, a lot of times, as Tori said, we storm into God's presence with all of our demands, and we forget to thank Him for the things that He's already done. You know what? You could write something on there. Thank you for answering our prayer for 64 people on Anniversary Sunday. Okay, that'd be a great thing to thank Him for. We prayed about it for weeks. Are we going to thank Him for weeks? Okay, ought to. We ought to. All right. All right, take that sheet. Flip that all the way to the back. And the next one I call personal. Okay, now that I've praised God, and now that I've thanked Him for a number of things, now I'm ready to pray for the person who needs prayer the most. And that's me. And that's you, right? On this sheet, what you want to do is, on the left column, put some of the areas that the Lord's been working on you about. Spiritual decisions, temptations, other spiritual needs in my life. You know, maybe somebody will put down there being kind to my family, or anger management, or showing love, or not using foul language. You know, anything that the Lord's been working on you about in the last couple months. And then in the right-hand column, the goal is to write a scripture reference that you can use throughout the day to battle that area in your life. You see, because if you just battle that area in your own strength, have no confidence in the flesh or in the cell, in ourselves. Okay, if we just battle it on our own, we're going to fall flat on our face. But if we will memorize God's word, get some scripture to battle the temptation. You know, when I was younger, I was tempted to steal. So I learned Ephesians 4, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, I don't have that same temptation today. I don't really need to use that verse very much, but I still remember it from when I needed it. You might have verses in your life. Verses for thought life. Maybe thought life is down there. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Losing your temper, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Okay, but maybe you don't know a reference right now. Just list the areas on the left, and then on the right, through the next couple of weeks, try to come up with some verses you can use for those areas. Now watch, when you get to this page on your prayer list, you see every day you're saying, now Lord, a couple of weeks ago, I went forward in church and I kneeled and I asked you to give me victory in this certain area. I'm still praying about it today, Lord. Give me victory again today. I can't do it on my own. I cast myself on you, Lord. Give me victory today, because your word says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Quote the scripture to yourself. Get it ready so you go out into battle and you're ready to face the temptations of the day. On my personal prayer list like this, I still have some of the decisions that I made when I was a teenager that I still pray about and say, now Lord, keep me going on victory today in that area. And I still quote those verses and go over them for my personal prayer list. And it's kind of neat because you can look back and see all the different things the Lord's worked in your heart about over the years if you'll keep a personal prayer list like this. All right, flip that one over. The next one says goals. Put your name at the top. I really believe that it would help many Christians if we would get serious about praying about goals in our life. Now, you have to be careful about goals because you can just set your own goals and they might not be the Lord's goals for your life. But when somebody prays and says, now Lord, give me some guidance, what goals could I set for the short term? What goals could I set for the long term? And what goals ought to be lifelong goals for me? Those that are married, a lifelong goal ought to be to have a godly marriage. That could be one of your goals over there, right? Godly marriage. And every day, Lord, help me to have a godly marriage again today. It's a lifelong goal. A long-term goal, young people, may be to graduate from a Christian college. Lord, help me to graduate from a Christian college someday. Help me to have the academics to do it and the finances to do it, and start praying about it right now. Another long-term goal for young people might be to marry the right person. Lord, if you want me to be married, help me to marry the right person. That'd be a good long-term goal. Short-term goal might be, Lord, help me to pray every day this week. Lord, help me to pass out 5 tracts this week and witness for the Lord. You could set up some short-term goals that you start praying about. Somewhere on there ought to be the goal to spend time with God every day. That could be a lifelong goal. You could call it, if you want to put a time on it and say, I want to try to spend time with God every day this year. Then it would be a long-term goal. And have Bible reading and prayer every day. But then pray about it. Lord, help me to fulfill that goal. It's something you want me to do. Lord, help me to do it. Then you might have some goals that are specific to you that maybe are not from the Scripture for every Christian, but you know this is a goal God wants you to have. Here you go, kids. Help me to get an A in language this year. Okay, that would be a short-term goal you could put, or maybe a C. Help me get a C in language. At least, Lord, a C, you know. Help me get above sea level, blah, 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 so that I won't drown. That could be a short-term goal. So put down some goals. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. How about a goal to say, Lord, help me to witness to one person during the next month? That'd be a great goal to set. But if we don't set any goals, then we won't accomplish anything. So pray about your goals. Now, you may find that some goals the Lord will change and say, yeah, that's not a goal I wanted you to set. Okay, I prayed about it enough. Cross that one off. All right, the Lord can lead you about things. Sometimes we have these ideas that aren't really from the Lord, but it doesn't hurt to pray about them, and I'll ask the Lord to give us guidance. All right, flip that one over. Let's go to the next sheet. My ministries. Put your name at the top. This is projects that I am a part of as my ministry for the Lord. Some of you are ushers. You ought to write down usher and pray that you'll be able to spread the joy of the Lord and greet the folks who come and do things decently and in order and help our church to be spiffy and sharp. Okay, and pray about your usher ministry. Some of you have Sunday school ministry, junior church ministry, choir. So you're in the choir. Put down choir ministry. You know, what would happen if the people in the choir every day say, now, Lord, empower our choir so that when we sing, it's not just pretty for everybody to hear, but that message gets through to somebody's heart. Boy, if we all started praying that every day, we'd see some things happen in the choir ministry. Special music ministry, food ministry. Praise the Lord for all the ladies that came early and put tablecloths out and set things up and got all that going. The bread basket ministry, the Lord leads you to do that. The sign ministry, you know, if we decide to do that. But whatever the Lord leads, maybe you don't have a ministry in the church yet, okay? Write that on there. Say, Lord, give me a ministry. Show me what you want me to do. Start praying about that. My ministries. Sound ministry. It's another one. Toddlers and nursery. The side table setup ministry. The morning auditorium setup ministry. We've got so many ministries going on already in this church. So praise the Lord for it. All right, let's flip to the back. And the next one, family. Build a list of specific requests for each member of your family. All right. Now, on the left, don't just put all your family members right in a row. Skip a couple spaces, because over at the right, the Lord will give you some specific things to pray about for each family member. I know for each member in my family, I have certain things I really believe the Lord has me pray about. There's some things I pray about for Josh that I don't pray about for Ben. There's some things I pray about for Ben that I don't pray about for Josh. Some of them, I pray the same thing for all of them, but then some things are specific for those kids. So write down the members of your family and then different prayer requests that you could pray for some of them. You know, I wonder how many Christians actually pray for their own families. I think it would solve a lot of family problems if we were fervent, consistent about laying our family members before the Lord in prayer. They would fix things in our own attitude, but it would also help those people that we pray for, wouldn't it? They would start to see more victory in some of those areas. Brothers and sisters would be getting along a lot better. Man, all kinds of things would happen if we prayed for our family. All right, I don't know if I gave you enough time for that one. You might have to come back to that one at a later time. But go ahead and flip to the next one. What's that blank line at the top for? Only one person knew. What's the blank line at the top for? Your name, okay? And that's in case you lose it. Okay, good. So put your name at the top there. All right. This sheet says unsaved. These are people that we believe to be unsaved. We don't know for sure. We don't know people's hearts. But if there's somebody that you're praying that the Lord would save them, that they would receive Christ as Savior, put their name down here. And hey, here's a list that you know is God's will. Because He willeth that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. So when you're praying for somebody to be saved, you know you're praying according to God's will. Now, He won't overrule their will. They'll have to want to be saved. But He can bring things to pass in their lives to draw them to Himself if we'll pray for them. If we'll pray for them. I still have some people from Michigan I'm still praying for, even though I've moved to Florida here. I've been praying for some of your relatives to be saved that you've told me about. And let's just keep asking God. I still have some unsaved relatives in my own family that I pray for just about every day, and this prayer list is a big help to remind me to do that. You can include relatives, classmates, neighbors, people you work with, people you met on door-to-door soul winning. You know, sometimes we meet somebody on soul winning and they're interested, and so when we get back from soul winning, we pray for them one time. Why not keep praying for them? Why not keep praying for them? Elena met these people with the same last name as her, the Chartiers, okay? And I prayed for them a number of times. And we're going to take Elena back to see them one of these soul-winning times and see if they'll get saved. So, you know, remember the people. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. You might want to, on the back of this, write some different things that you can pray for on different days of the week. Let me go ahead and give you some of the things. Go ahead and flip that over. And just down the side, write S-M-T-W-R-F-S. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And write that down the side. And let me tell you one of the things that I've done for praying for lost folks that might be a help to you. Okay. On Sunday, a lot of times I'll pray for Holy Spirit conviction in the lost person's life. Just write down Holy Spirit conviction. On Sunday, say, Lord, let your Holy Spirit convict them. Show them they really need to be saved. On Monday, I'll pray, Lord, let me witness to them. Or let me witness to them again. Or this time, let them listen. Okay, let me witness on Monday. Tuesday, I'll pray, Lord, send somebody else that they respect to witness to them. Send somebody else, another witness. And on Tuesday, I'll say, Lord, there's got to be somebody they work with or somebody that they won't listen to me, but maybe they'll listen to them. Lord, send somebody else. On Wednesday, I'll sometimes pray, Lord, give them attention on eternity. Attention on eternity. Help them to see something on the news that wakes them up and helps them realize, man, someday I'm going to die. I better get serious about the Lord. Lord, get their attention on eternity. Thursday, I'll pray, Lord, help them to remember the gospel that I shared with them. Remember the gospel. Because some of them, you know, they're relatives, and I've witnessed to them a couple times, and it's kind of awkward or tense if I bring it up again right now, and I'm willing to, Lord, but help them to remember the gospel. Help them to find that tract that I gave them. It's in their dresser somewhere or something. Lord, help them to find that thing again, or that letter I wrote them. And help them to remember the gospel. Friday, I'd like to claim scripture promises. Lord, it's your will to save them. You said you will that none should perish, but all come to repentance. You said that all that come to you, you will no wise cast out. So Lord, let them come to you. I know you won't cast them out. And I'll claim the scripture promises before the Lord on Friday. And then Saturday, I pray that the Lord would get glory to His name. You know, Lord, if you would save my uncle, the rest of my family would realize how great of a God you are, because they think he'll never get saved. They think he's cold, he's hard, he's set in his own ways. He'll probably never get saved. Lord, if you saved him, you would get great glory to your name. Lord, would you get glory to your name by saving my uncle? And that's a good way to pray for the unsaved on Saturday. Anyway, that'll help you. You know, otherwise, what you do is you look at this unsaved list and you say, okay, Lord, please save so-and-so, 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 so-and-so. Amen. Well, wait a minute. Take some time and dwell on that person for a little bit. Maybe you'll use more than one of those on that particular day. Lord, bring Holy Spirit conviction to my uncle's heart. Help him to realize that you love him. There's a good church started up by him recently. Lord, let some soul winner go by his house and find him at home. And I'll say, hey, that's the same thing that my nephew Mark's been telling me. Man, maybe I do need to be. Lord, send somebody else. And then, Father, get glory to your name by saving him. See, now I'm really praying for somebody. I'm not just saying his name. I'm actually talking to God about him. So pray for the unsaved. All right, let's go to the next sheet. The next one says converts. That's those who have been saved due to your witness. You know, if the Lord used you to help somebody get saved, in a sense, you're their spiritual parent. And just like a parent wouldn't leave the kid alone, so a spiritual parent needs to take care of that new baby Christian. And we need to take it seriously. We need to try to encourage them. But you know what? We need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. Maybe you're at a point in your life where you say, I don't have anybody. There's nobody in my life that I've ever been instrumental in seeing them come and be saved. Well, that's why we're encouraging you to come to Sunday school. So we can equip you and show you how to tell other people how to be saved. But hopefully this will start filling up. Maybe some of you I know have prayed with people who've responded to the invitation here at church. Well, if you prayed with them to be saved, you ought to be praying for that person to keep growing, and they ought to be one of your concerns. Maybe you brought somebody to church and they ended up getting saved. Hey, you ought to be praying that they'll be growing, okay, because you've had a part in leading them to Christ. All right, next sheet, my church. This is projects and goals of our church and youth group. You know, what projects does our church have? You could have had on there, it's maybe a little late now, but Anniversary Sunday would be a big one that we could be praying about. We'll have Missions Conference coming up in a couple months. That'd be a project and a goal that you could put down right now, Missions Conference. How about the building project? The building project. You know, maybe all of this red tape and hindrances that we're seeing, it might just be the Lord working patience in our lives. But it also could be that maybe we're not really praying. I hope that's not true. But maybe we're not getting serious about beseeching God and saying, God, break down the barriers and get us in that building. All right? We've got to get serious about it. That kind of a project would be a good one. Anybody think of other projects for this sheet? Okay, good. The Youth Camp Fund, okay? Pray for our Youth Camp Fund to be able to be built up so we can help the teenagers go to camp again next summer. Excellent. Anything else? The bread ministry, okay. Good. It'll open up some doors for us to witness. Maybe we can give it to some folks who need it, and they'd say, wow, that's an interesting church. And then the next time they say, hey, tell me about your church. And, you know, maybe we can win them to the Lord. Say, hey, before I tell you about church, let me tell you about Christ. Let me tell you about how to be saved. And that's more important than going to church, is going to heaven. And then after that, you'll want to go to church, you know, and explain to them how to be saved. Yeah, but pray for the bread ministry, the sign ministry. Yes, Ben? Puppet ministry. Excellent. Puppet ministry. Good. Now, so Ben, that could go on my ministry if you're involved in puppets. But if you're not involved in it, it can just be something that people in the church pray about. All right? Good. You know what? You could pray about some of the things that we're doing. Like, we've had this How to Pray series. That would have been a good thing. Lord, help us during these weeks to become a praying church and to really learn what it means to get hold of you. Help us during this witnessing series to really get hold of being a witnessing church, a witnessing people. And you can pray about those kind of things on my church. Okay? You can pray for your pastor. Okay, I need it. I pray for wisdom, pray for spiritual strength and power in preaching, and so forth. Pray for my family. All right, next page, friends. Okay, the Bible says that the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. See, Job's friends weren't being real friendly to him. They were kind of giving him a hard time and saying, no, Job, all this bad stuff's happening to you. You must be sinning against the Lord. Job said, I don't think I am, guys. Yeah, sure, Job. And they weren't being real nice to him. But eventually, He has a good attitude toward his friends and he prays for them. And God says that when he prayed for his friends, then the Lord turned his captivity. In other words, things started going better for Job because he prayed for those people. So jot down your friends, and then over on the right, jot down some specific requests. Maybe your friend made a decision for the Lord recently, and you're going to pray for strength in that decision. Some of you teenagers made music decisions. You know what? I got your name down, and I've got next to it. Pray for strength to listen to godly music and not go back to that wrong stuff. Okay? See, you pray specific requests for your friends. Some of them are temporary, okay? Pray for Stephanie to have her baby safely. Some are ongoing requests that you're going to pray for them for a long time. But that's good. The temporary ones, when they're answered, you can circle them, you know? And you have a journal of answered requests. So pray for your friends. You know what? Jesus said that not only should we pray for our friends, but you know what's coming next? We should pray for our... Anybody want to say it? Pray for our... enemies. Look at the next sheet. My enemies prayer list. Yes, I actually have an enemies prayer list in my Bible. Now, I praise the Lord right now that right now my enemies prayer list is really short. Okay, sometimes in my ministry it's been longer, but right now my enemies prayer list is really short. But you know what we should do for our enemies? We shouldn't hate them. We should pray for them. And we shouldn't pray that God will get them, you know. No, we should pray that God will bless them and do good for them. And that the goodness of God will lead them to repentance. And that maybe God will restore our relationship again someday. Jesus said, pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. We should pray for our enemies. I put this down, pray that they will follow the Lord. And then pray that something good will happen to them today. You know, we think, yeah, I'm going to pray for my enemy. I'm going to pray that God zaps them, you know. Now, wait a minute. Why not pray that God does something good for him today? What did Jesus say when they nailed him to the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did they know what they were doing? Well, yeah, they knew. They were killing him on the cross. Yeah, but they didn't know the scope of it. And sometimes somebody mistreats you and you think, well, they knew what they were doing. They did that on purpose. Yeah, but they don't realize that here you are serving the Lord. And they're actually fighting against a servant of God. They don't realize what they're doing. Pray for them. Pray for them. Hopefully your enemy's list is short, but if it's not, pray for them all. Okay? All right, the next one, other ministries. We're almost done. Other ministries. Pray for one ministry all week using a different request each day. All right, maybe you'll pray for Brother Solomon Raju in India. So here on Sunday, you'll pray for spiritual refreshing for Brother Solomon. On Monday, you'll pray for physical strength. On Tuesday, you'll pray for emotional encouragement and safety. Wednesday, you'll pray for financial needs and his family to live for God. Thursday, you'll pray for God's power and his impact on his nation. Friday, you'll pray for open doors of opportunity for him. Saturday, you'll pray for conviction and results and continuance through his ministry. Then on the lines below, write down some ministries you'd like to pray for. Maybe Brother Solomon, maybe you committed to pray for him. Write them down. Bill Rice Ranch was here. Some of you said, yes, I'll pray for the Bill Rice Ranch. Okay, I wonder if you remembered. It's been a couple months. Put them on your list. Hope Children's Home is one you could have down here. These are other ministries that the Lord has burdened you to pray for. And I would encourage you to pick out one a week and just pour over that ministry in prayer. Baptist Church Planning Ministry. Excellent. Pastor Roland out there. Any of our missionaries would fit in right on this sheet. That would be perfect. Anybody remember what Tori's last two chapters in the book were about? They were about revival. Okay, Tori's last two chapters in the How to Pray book were about revival. So turn to the next page. And this is a prayer for revival. Remember, Tori said, for a Christian in our day to pray aright, much of his prayers must be focused on the need for revival. So how do you pray for revival? Well, on the left, I pray that I'll be committed to holiness. I pray that I'll be consumed with prayer, that I'll be controlled by the Spirit, that I'll be concerned for souls. Because if I'm those things, I'm living in a state of revival. me individually. Then I'll pray for my church, pray for our church, that we will be in a state of revival, that our church will be committed to holiness, consumed with prayer, controlled by the Spirit, and concerned for souls. And then there's some things during the week you can pray for, different days of the week. I'll let you read through those. Okay, go to the next sheet, physical needs. You know what? This sheet, for some of you, that was your whole prayer list before. But look how much we have to pray for before we even pray for physical needs. Now, we should pray for physical needs, but aren't the spiritual needs more important? You know, if I pray for Grandma Jenkins to be healed, and she's healed and she lives another 15 or 20 years, but then she dies and goes to hell, that's no good, is it? Okay? So we need to pray for the spiritual needs, but then pray for the physical needs as well. God cares about the very hairs of our head. They're all numbered. He sees when a sparrow falls. He knows about surgery tomorrow. Okay, so we need to pray about these things. We need to pray about the physical needs. And then keep praying for them until God changes your request or He answers. I'm still asking the Lord to give Marion range of motion in her arm. Okay, doctors say, I don't know if she'll ever get range of motion back. Well, let's keep asking the Lord to do that unless He tells us something different. Okay, let's pray for physical needs. Then the last two sheets are totally blank for you to add things that don't fit on any of the other sheets. Maybe you say, you know, I've got some other prayer requests that don't really fit on any other sheets. Now, watch how this works. First of all, don't staple it together, because what I found is after I use this prayer list for a while, if I'm not careful, I'll start just getting in kind of a routine where I'm tempted not to think about what I'm praying about. And so sometimes I'll just mix up the sheets a little bit and just pray in a little bit of a different order. The other thing that'll help you is if you pray out loud. Now, your family might think you're crazy and you're talking to yourself, but just tell them, no, I'm going to have prayer time, okay? And if you pray out loud, it'll keep your mind from wandering. Now, watch this. Here's 16 sheets. If you spent 2 minutes on each sheet, you would pray for over a half hour, just like that. To a lot of us, a half hour, you might think, wow, a half hour to pray. I sit down to pray, and after about a minute and a half, I've prayed for everything I can think of. Yeah, it's because you didn't have a list before. Okay, a prayer list will transform your prayer life. Now, if you have another prayer list that you've already been using, fine, thank you for filling this out and humoring me. But maybe you want to try this out and see if it works for you. If you want some other blank sheets, I will put some on the side table, and you can take some more sheets as you need them. Maybe you think, you know, I can't fit everything on, you know, some of these sheets. There's not enough room. I'll have extra ones on the side table that will be available in the weeks ahead. So feel free to avail yourselves of those and make use of the prayer list. And then one more thing. Next week, when we come back, we'll have our last official Sunday evening service on prayer. We'll have the Lord's Supper next week, and then we'll finish up this series on prayer. And as part of it, I want to give you an opportunity to give testimonies. Maybe something you learned through Tori's book or through the messages I've been preaching. Or maybe, this would be really cool, if somebody had a testimony about something that happens in prayer this week. Somebody to say, you know, I started using that prayer list, and I was able to spend a half hour in prayer on Tuesday, and I was like, wow. Yeah, that kind of testimony, that would be something really special if the Lord did something like that for you. So when you come next Sunday night, see if the Lord will give you a word of testimony that has to do with our prayer series or the prayer list. And let me encourage you to do this. Try it for a week. Maybe you're not ready to say, okay, I'm going to use this prayer list for the rest of my life. Okay, maybe you're not ready for that. But would you try it this week? Maybe get up a little bit earlier in the morning or spend some time before bed. Go through that prayer list and see if that communication with God doesn't become precious to you, where you think, you know, I love this. I love being able to talk to Him and have Him talk to my heart through His Word and through His Spirit. And I don't want to trade that prayer time for anything. And if you try it for a week, it may be Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. You might taste and see and think, you know, I'm never going back to these little short, quickie prayers. I want to learn to spend time with God.